Nearly 50,000 students in New York, concentrated in Brooklyn and the lower Hudson Valley, are going to schools that offer almost no English, math, science, or history, despite nearly $1 billion in government funding over the last 4 years. These are schools operated by the ultra-Orthodox Hasidic community. Religious instruction dominates the day, and secular subjects are squeezed in as an afterthought. That's among the findings of an investigation from the New York Times based on some 275 interviews. Eliza Shapiro, education reporter for the Times, participated in the investigation and joins us now. Good to have you, Eliza. It's quite a piece you've written. Thank you.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me.
So you begin with a portrait of one of the largest private schools in the state, over 1,000 boys, and all of them failed the state's 2019 standardized math and reading exam. Extraordinary finding. And that finding wasn't an outlier. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, to really paint a portrait of what's going on in these roughly 100 Hasidic boys yeshivas, obviously, you know, we did a lot of reporting, and one element of our reporting was to look at test scores. You know, as an education reporter, I know that test scores never tell the full picture about any school or any, you know, group of schools. But here we found over and over that the Hasidic boys' schools that did take standardized tests did, you know, exceptionally poorly, were some of the worst performing schools in the entire state. You know, and for context, I should note, many of the Hasidic boys' schools do not take standardized tests at all, so it's hard to know, you know, how they would do. But we spoke to about 36 teachers who have taught in these schools, and we really heard, a very, very similar stories from those teachers about how little their students knew, particularly in English and math.
Yeah.
And to
Eliza,
paint that picture.
Yeah. And Eliza, you say this isn't happening by design. So can you tell us more about these schools? What does a typical day look like at a standard boys' school in this group of schools, these yeshivas
Yes.
in these communities?
Absolutely. So yeah, we did find that sort of the failures in the secular studies part of the day really are happening by design, because the purpose of the schools is to do something very different than a typical public school. It is not to teach, you know, robust English, reading, math, civics, science, social studies. It is to focus, you know, largely, in some cases, almost exclusively on studying Torah and Talmud and these, you know, foundational, very, very important religious texts. And, you know, some defenders of the yeshivas will say, and we certainly found this in our reporting, I mean, the boys are in school for hours and hours, you know, poring over these texts, understanding the complex legal principles inherent in them. I mean, some boys arrive at school before the sun rises and they leave when it's dark. But what they're doing is they are participating in religious instruction. And often what they're doing very little is anything by way of secular.
Right. The secular curriculum is squeezed into under an hour or so a day. We're also talking about highly censored content, right? Can you talk about what's not allowed to be taught in the secular curriculum?
Yeah, there's a fair amount that really is sort of off limits in many of these schools. I mean, we showed some censored textbooks to give a sense of that. But, you know, the many, many students we spoke to, former students, I mean, there is little, if any, discussion of biology, the reproductive system, evolution, very, very little in most schools that we're talking about, you know, civics, government, history. You know, what we really found and what we heard over and over again was that a connection to the outside world, a connection to the modern world, can really be seen as a threat by the leaders of the schools.
Yeah.
And so very little of what would connect these students to the world outside is actually provided in the schools.
So, Eliza, how is this being allowed to happen? Because, of course, we haven't sort of stated the obvious here. We're talking about public education dollars, right, going into these schools. How is this being permitted?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, again, these are private schools, private religious schools, and it's true that, you know, public tax dollars help fund all kinds of private schools, which is, you know, perhaps its own debate. But what we found here is really an extraordinary amount of government funding going towards these schools, as you said, over $1 billion in the last 4 years alone. The schools, you know, have sort of looked to a number of programs that they receive money from. I mean, they receive money from Title I, which is aimed for, obviously, you know, schools with a lot of kids who are in poverty. They, you know, one of our findings was they get a relatively small but still, you know, meaningful amount of money for internet-related services, even though the students are barred from using the internet, because that, again, is a connection to the secular world. The schools, many of the schools rely on vouchers, childcare vouchers, right, to help pay the tuition. So there's sort of this broad array of government programs that the schools have tapped into to, you know, and the result is that they really rely on taxpayer dollars to function.
Right. And I'm curious about the legal requirement to educate these children. And there have been complaints, but so far no action. What have you heard from New York City Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Kathy Hochul? What are they saying?
Yeah. So just this morning, both the mayor and governor were asked about the findings of our investigation. We obviously asked both of them before as well. I was particularly struck by the governor's response. Just about maybe 2 hours ago, she said, you know, asked about our findings, said, people understand that this is outside the purview of the governor. So that was sort of a moment of deflection. New York has all these complicated rules of who governs the education system. And it's true the governor does not have direct oversight over the state education department. But the governor is obviously the most powerful person in New York. And needless to say, has a fair amount of purview over the state schools. Mayor Eric Adams was also asked this morning about our findings. He said he was not concerned about the findings of the investigation, but he also said, and this is an important nuance, that his administration would restart this very long-delayed investigation into some of the Hasidic schools in New York City. So we are waiting to hear more about that.
Now, you also reached out to many of the schools that you reported on, but the administrators didn't want to answer your questions. But some Hasidic groups preemptively responded when they were informed about your reporting. What did you hear from them?
Yeah, so we received a wide range of responses that we really, really tried to get as comprehensively in the story as possible. I mean, one of the responses that I want to highlight is, you know, this is about parental choice. These are parents who are choosing to send their children to schools that focus on religious education, and that is the choice of the parent. I think, which is a you know, an interesting argument that I'm interested to hear more debate on as the city and state think about this issue. You know, obviously, I think we're all also interested in children's rights. I mean, what we have found is many of the boys and men who graduate, so to speak, from Hasidic yeshivas struggle to make a living, struggle to certainly make a life for themselves in the world outside if they choose to leave the community. So, you know, I think it's a really compelling and strong point that we tried to emphasize, that parents do not want a typical secular education. They want something different. But then, of course, you get right back into, so what is the government's role in funding these schools then?
Right. I think one of the things, well, there were a lot of things that I was really struck by in this piece. Among them, some of these schools impose corporal punishment on kids. But Eliza, in the sort of 30 seconds that remains, what surprised you most from this investigation?
Yeah, many things. I would say, just to your note, I was not expecting when we began this reporting that so many of the nearly 300 people we spoke to would say that they or their children experienced corporal punishment. That was a shock to me.
Yeah.
I think it was a shock to the elected officials involved, and that is something we're going to continue to look into.
All right. That's New York Times reporter Eliza Shapiro talking about her extensive investigation into Hasidic education in New York. Eliza, thank you so much.
Thank you.